The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
Hey, we are back to the second half of the pride. I don't know why I'm laughing. It's just been a funny afternoon. Let's get back to the calls. And if you're a Georgia fan, you just might want to turn the sound down. Legend is next.
Woo! Woo! 1, 2, 3. That's right, baby. In the ring, Saturday night, Georgia. You wanted the best. You wanted the king. You got him, baby. You don't want him no more, do you?
Oh, come on, legend. You heard Mike Griffith talk about the rematch and how it's all going to be different.
Well, Mike Griffith's delusional, Paul. Let me tell you why it ain't different, Paul. We built the Georgia system. That is Nick Saban's system. Nick Saban don't even have the game plan for their offense. All he's got to do is roll out the same plan that he used 10 years ago against them. They got that 1980 Bobo offense that they run where they try to run down your throat and play action off of it. They got a midget for a quarterback. I told you continuously last week what was going to happen, that midget was going to throw the ball to us eventually. He did. Jordan Battle should have had a pick six in the first quarter. He got one again in the third quarter. And these idiots coming on here saying that it wouldn't have mattered if you went to JT Daniels? I mean, how stupid are you? You got a midget for a quarterback. Put him on the bench and put a real quarterback in the game. And maybe, just maybe, Georgia, you have a chance. But come on, Paul. If you're the head coach of Georgia, who do you play, Bennett or JT Daniels, brother?
That was not a difficult decision. I may have given Bennett some time, but as soon as that avalanche started in the second quarter, you would have seen a different quarterback.
Well, you should have seen a different quarterback 8 weeks ago, Paul. I've been telling you all year that Kirby Smart's problem is he cannot evaluate quarterbacks. Stetson Bennett is a future manager at Burger King, and JT Daniels is a possible NFL quarterback. The decision is not hard. I don't care how loyal you are. You don't leave a midget in the game against Alabama when 2 years before that same midget threw the ball continuously to Alabama in the second half. It's stupid. And Red Dog, Lil Bow Wow, suck on that, loser. You said you had a jackass down the road. Was that your uncle, dude? Shannon, here's a plate of crow for you, brother. You're never going to beat Alabama with that walk-on midget. And I told you last week, the best quarterback wins the game 80% of the time. You stupid idiot. Eat that crow. Go to the buffet. And here's for all you Georgia fans. Kiss the friggin' ring. We put that Ric Flair elbow on you, and you couldn't get back up. The greatest defense that ever lived crumbles like a bad cake, brother. That's what happened, man. And here's the thing. Michigan gonna beat that ass, too. Michigan got two future All-Pros at defensive end, and they're going to get at that midget, and we're never going to hear from Georgia again because they're going to lose most of that defense to the draft, and Florida's fixing to take over the East again. The run is over, Georgia. You reached the mountaintop like I told you last year, and your mountaintop is quite short watching us celebrate at the top, you losers. We put it on them, Paul. We beat them down. I haven't seen a beat down like that since Ric Flair beat Dusty Rhodes for the world title, brother. And here's the thing. I'm more afraid of Cincinnati than I am Georgia. Cincinnati's got a friggin' better team, brother. I told you we was the king. We're the king. We're going to stay the king. And as long as you got midgets for quarterback, Georgia, you never getting to the mountaintop. I said it. I'll say it again. We're the king. You're not. Kiss the friggin' ring. Legend.
Thank you, legend. Have a good day. Paul is up next in Boise. Hello, Paul.
Well, howdy. How you doing?
Howdy.
Howdy. Well, Georgia's going to lose against Michigan. I can tell you that right now.
Why's that?
Yeah, they just think Michigan's a lot better team, and Alabama showed Georgia how to play football. And what really happened, there was an elephant in the room.
You think so? That's pretty funny. Bill is up next in Texas. Hello, Bill.
How you doing today, Paul?
We're doing well. Thank you.
Hey, got a couple of things. For legend, I think he's right about the Michigan game, but can he say Giggum Aggies and Matt needs to go over and whoop on him a little more? But when it comes back to the Georgia-Michigan game, Harbaugh's having a year, and he puts pretty good game plan together. If they come out and they beat Georgia, what's going to happen to Kirby Smart? Is he still going to be there? He's going to fire his
Let me assure you, when you're when you've done as well as Kirby Smart has, nobody's firing you. I mean, there'll be some question marks, and I think that's fair. That's what happens when you're an elite program. But let's not lose sight of reality here. Kirby Smart is still two games away from a national title, and he's one loss away from a long off season. Hey, thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Greg is up next. Hey, Greg.
Hey, Paul. Thank you for taking my call. Let me ask you a question. Do you think that Kirby is trying to run a marathon using sprinters? And by that, I mean, in these last four games that he's played, they come out quick, hot, and then he doesn't make any adjustments. And I can't remember one significant adjustment that Kirby has made in any half.
He hasn't had to do anything this year. And you know, some would argue maybe that was the problem. I don't know. I know what I would do, and I know what you would do if you were Kirby Smart. After looking at the film, you might just throw it away and start from scratch. I mean, you've earned a reboot, and that's the beauty of this season. They were so good that their bad performance did not really change very much, other than this, and this may be the most important thing. They didn't get rid of Alabama, and that's what I would have put for those who argue, Greg, that the game didn't matter as much, I would strongly disagree. You don't want to see – I mean, I know Alabama fans would rather not see Georgia, but if Georgia had won that game, consider where they would have been today. They would have been playing Cincinnati, and they would have rid themselves of their most difficult foe.
Yeah, it's – you know, maybe playing the Citadel doesn't matter, but in this game, especially against this opponent in the SEC championship, there's too much riding on it to – cast it aside and say, well, we can get them again in the playoffs. And you have Alabama at its weakest point in this run of Nick Saban's, and you supposedly have the strongest team or defense you've had in 40 years at Georgia, and you don't look any better than you did last year.
No, and if you look at some of the – I realize I'm being very specific here, but in Georgia's losses, let's see, they lost to LSU 2 years ago. They had a loss to Auburn, I think, in 17. They lost to LSU, I believe, maybe it was in 18. I can't remember. But, I mean, their losses have been epic. I mean, their defense is completely folded. And that's the one thing I didn't see happening this time around. I thought, sure, Alabama could have won the game, but I didn't see it looking just like all the other bad losses for Georgia.
Well, I don't think anybody that was being rational looked at it that it was in this way, even though some of us were positive that Alabama could get a win. I think the problem for Kirby is that he's an excellent recruiter on par with Nick Saban, but when it comes to his willingness to change or his adaptability in ball games, he's like Les Miles.
Well, it's a fair statement, and right now it's hard to argue. His in-game adjustments are open for debate. Let's take a break here. We have a long way to go.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Peter is up next in Texas as we continue here on a very busy Monday afternoon. Hey, Peter.
Yeah, how you doing, Paul?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Hey, thank you for having me on your show.
Well, thanks for calling.
All right. I wanted to make a comment about Kirby Smart just as far as the defense, right? I think he's just going to have to do a little soul searching. He's going to have to pull up some tape on Auburn, Texas A&M, and that Florida game with Alabama played.
Don't you?
And,
by the way, hey, Peter, don't you think he's already done that?
I don't know. With the game they played, it didn't look like it.
No, I can promise you when you with all the analysts and all the ability, he didn't miss a game, right? Yeah. He's seen Alabama play.
Yeah, but if he's a defensive mind person, right? He's going to reanalyze those three games, right? And if they make it through Michigan, right, which I think they will, they're going to play Georgia again. I know Legend was on there talking some trash, you know, but Georgia's going to play them again, you know. And I know Kirby kind of didn't drop the ball a couple of times, but if he go back and restudy, about two or three plays from beating Alabama. If they would have made those two or three plays, they would have beat Alabama. But
Well, Peter, I don't know what two or three plays those were, but I'm more than happy to finish this conversation when you can provide me with them. Ton Man up next. Hello.
Hey, Paul. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
Last week I called, Paul. I just want to clean up a little bit. Daniel called in behind me. I know you'll remember it. My little dog barked and my phone cut off.
Right.
Well, what I want to tell Daniel is at least I got a dog that can bark. Then I want to clean up a little bit behind the dog man over in Georgia. Legend cleaned it, cleaned most of it up. I'm going to sweep up just a little bit more and tell him that all that happened to him is Alabama took them all out behind the woodshed and spanked that fanny.
That's fantastic. Thanks for adding that to the program. Adina is up next. How are you?
Hey, Paul. I'm doing great. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Hey, when I got to the ball game, you know, I've seen a lot of football over my many years, and it was a very interesting phenomenon. Nobody really that I ran into was talking a lot of trash before the game. The pep rally got a little bit crazy in the fan fest, but I noticed that everybody was just kind of laying back to see what was going to happen. But had it gone the other way, I think it would have been tremendously brutal because Alabama fans, you know, we hang in there every week. Bama wins, and nobody can say anything. When they make one mistake, then the floodgates come. And I was out there eating up and down. I could not stand to watch the game. When the 10 points came, I'm like, I got to go get something to eat. And they started scoring, and I could feel it turn around. But even after the game, there wasn't a lot of ugliness going down after that game. And I still don't understand exactly what happened on how we just pull that phenomenon out and with the butt.
Well, thank you for the call. I'm just wondering about this. If you're too nervous to watch the game, how are you able to eat? I guess that maybe that's a nervous reaction. Let's check out Jeremy up next. Hey, Jeremy, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul. Right off the bat, I'm going to go with your Ric Flair, your favorite buddy there, and say, to be the man, you got to beat the man. Woo! Roll Tide. And it wouldn't have mattered what quarterback they had in there. They could have had Joe Montana in there. Them boys from Alabama come to play that day.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Bama Nick is up next.
Paul Feinbaum, the mouth of the South. Can I get a Roll Tide, good buddy?
Let's hear it.
Roll Tide.
Wow, Nick, that's great.
No, I want to ask you something, Feinbaum. Feinbaum, where you at?
Nick, here's breaking news. Here's some breaking news. Once the show begins, I don't leave. I'm here for the entire show. So do you have a question?
Well,
do you have something to say?
We went silent for a minute there. I don't know if you cut me off or not. But,
not yet.
Paul, do you remember old Joe from Red Bay's Call Friday?
I do.
You remember he predicted Tide and double did it?
Yes.
Has Joe called in yet? I ain't heard from him.
No, he hasn't yet.
What are you going to say to him?
Tell him what a brilliant prognosticator he is.
Yeah, you know, because I always thought Joe was a moron, but I guess he called it right on that one.
Well, thanks for the call, Nick. That was enlightening, I must confess. Let's go to Preacher next. I think we need a little bit of old-time religion after that call.
Amen to that, Paul. Hey, I just wanted to say Roll Tide, and I'm so glad that we're going to get to play Cincinnati so we can finally show them what a real football team is and shut that mouth for them good. And, I just want to say Jimbo Fisher had lost, two games, and when we played them, and, you know, they were talking about doing away with Jimbo. They get lucky, get a last-second field goal and win the game, and now he's the best coach in the world. You know what I'm saying? That's how things turn around. That fella talking about Kirby. Kirby's going to be there. Kirby's great. I hate when Bama lost Kirby. Roll Tide. But
hey, thanks for the call. Paul is up next in New Jersey. Hello, Paul.
Hello, Paul. How are you doing today?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Well, God, what a Saturday of college football. Let me tell you. You know, I'm not a Bama fan or a Georgia fan. I'm an LSU fan. But what a game. And, you know, you just got to respect Coach Saban so much. I mean, you know, there's so many Bama haters out there. And you just got to respect
Do you think the hate toward Bama is because they're good or because
I think it's because they're good.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's just because they're good. Well, you know, I'm from New Jersey, but I'm a Patriot fan. I've been a Patriot fan ever since Bill Parcells moved up there from the Giants. You know, he left for the Jets, and I could never root for the Jets. So I stayed a Patriots fan. And, you know, it's the same thing with Bill Belichick. You just have to give that man so much respect for his coaching abilities. And, you know, Bill Belichick and Nick Saban, it's the same thing. It goes back to basic football. It goes back to finding a weakness in your opponent and you attacking it. And you always hang in there to the last closing seconds to win the game. You know, it was a great, great game. But now I got to tell you, on the flip side, I have a very strong feeling that Georgia's going to win the national championship.
Well, Paul, if you just hit the reset, there's no way I could make that determination. I want to see how they look against Michigan, and if they look really good against Michigan,
sure.
Then I think that conclusion is a lot easier to make. I don't think there's really much reason to talk about that rematch yet, but thank you for the call. We're up against a break here. We still have plenty of time. Some more guests to come by, and your phone calls at 855-242-7285.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, SAVE. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, SAVE. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
And we welcome all of you back. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. And let's talk to LB in Alabama. Hello, LB.
Hey, how you doing, Paul?
We're good. Thank you.
Hey, I just
want to thank Auburn. I've watched Alabama all my life, but with this, I still think the NIL is affecting locker rooms and all year. And the way Coach Saban, you know, he called out Billingsley, then he's coddling them. Auburn did us the biggest favor they ever did. I really do believe that.
So you think the close call woke Alabama up?
Something did. But Alabama,
that's an interesting theory, but you know, LSU nearly beat them. They didn't really play a lot better when they saw Arkansas.
We were still there. We were still in it. And, by gosh, I got to say something. Those players, they won it.
I agree with you. I think Alabama, you know, definitely shored up some deficiencies. I mean, there's no getting around. The offensive line didn't even look like the same unit.
I mean, you've heard all year about, you know, the generational front that Georgia had. They did nothing. Auburn, what did, I got sacked 7 times.
Well, but that was what, 8 times, I think. But that's what, thanks for the call. I think that was always the thing that a lot of us wondered about collectively is, you know, what's going to happen if Georgia gets in that position. And, you know, they get up 10-0, and then they let it all slip away. And I think it happened so fast, there wasn't really an adjustment. And they had the halftime to figure some things out, and the third quarter was even worse. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Fred is up next. Hey, Fred.
Hey, Paul. This is Freddie from Spruce Pine, Alabama.
Sure.
And I got 2 answers for you. A 3-year novice went up against the best coach in football history. But Georgia just got beat on every area. The receivers outrun the ones that was against them. The line beat them. And that's just, they did, there's no way they could have made adjustments to Alabama that night.
Well, what you say is interesting, but, you know, there were some other instances this year when Auburn had a challenging game plan for Alabama. Obviously, the A&M game plan we've talked about ad nauseum, LSU. I'm trying to figure out, and I'm throwing this out to everyone, what made this so different? That's what we're looking for here. Thank you for the call. Jim is in Virginia. Hello, Jim.
Hello.
Hey there.
You hear me?
I sure can. Thank you.
Yeah, roll tide. I'm an Alabama fan. My question, well, I'm going to make a comment first and then a question. I've predicted Alabama to win, but I thought it would be one score, maybe even an overtime. And I knew at halftime Kirby was going to make some adjustments. I thought JT Daniels might come out. But maybe he made some adjustments, and we can't see them because Coach Saban just made some better adjustments. But my question is, I heard a few years ago Saban was interviewed, and he said, they asked him if he could spend 2 hours in a car with anybody, who would he pick? And he said Hugh Freeze. And his reason was, you know, if I had a couple hours, I could know how he thinks. He had years with Kirby Smart. Do you think he just knows how Kirby thinks that gave him such a tremendous advantage?
Well, Jim, I would think so for this reason. Kirby, I've always felt, is the Saban assistant most like Nick Saban. So, but it also works the other way around. When you're working for someone, you have a pretty good idea how they react. But they did work very closely together. So, yeah, Saban and Kirby are on the headset together during the games. He knows Kirby's tendencies in terms of what he likes to do and call, and Kirby likes Nick Saban's. But the one thing that Kirby didn't understand very well is what Bill O'Brien's tendencies were, because that's really where the game got out of hand.
So you give it to the coordinators.
Well, I think in this particular case, as much credit as you want to give to, and we all want to give to Nick Saban, because he's ultimately the head coach, I thought the biggest difference for Alabama was what they were able to do on the offensive line. So once that, whatever, and I think we'll look at it in greater detail from an analysis standpoint as we move throughout the week, but Alabama figured out a way to mask their biggest weakness, and that was the ability to protect Bryce Young.
And you think he'll do something even different if they play again in the championship game?
I think let's go. I'm going to go back on what I just got through saying, just for the sake of argument. Let's say they meet in the championship game. I'll ask you a couple of questions. Who's the pressure on in the national championship game? Is it the guy who's going for his eighth national championship, or is it the guy who's going for his first?
Be Georgia first.
Absolutely. I mean, Nick Saban, and, you know, again, you hear this in many, many sports, but Nick Saban knows he can beat Kirby Smart. And now Kirby Smart will literally carry the weight of the world into that game. And, you know, does it make him a better coach, or does it expose his tendencies even more? One thing Kirby Smart has been able to do that I don't know if anyone else has been able to do this, three times now, I think four times, but three times in championship games against Nick Saban, he's had a double-digit lead. Has anyone else done that? Even Dabo Sweeney, who's beaten Saban twice and has played him four times, I don't think he's had double-digit leads three times. He had a double-digit lead in the final game, but he didn't have that in the other three. So that is unique, but he just, you know, Kirby Smart is going to carry a lot of pressure in that game, and that's fine. He wants to get to that game, and so does Saban. And I know that there's a tendency for all of us to want to look ahead. I'm plenty comfortable with talking about the two semifinal games. Let's check in with Justin, who is in Tennessee. Hello, Justin.
Hey, Paul, I just want to say I'm a huge fan of the show.
Thank you.
Touch a little bit on what you're just saying. Actually, I do give a lot of credit to Bill O'Brien. I think he came out there with some really, really beautiful plays that we haven't seen all season. So I thought he did a tremendous job to kind of throw the defense of Georgia off. I'm really excited that the playoff committee decided to put a non-Power 5 team in to the playoffs. Really excited to get to play them. So I'm really happy about that. I just want to say roll tide. I think that'd be a good game. But,
thank you. Yeah, Justin, I think it's a really exciting game. And, you know, this Cincinnati team has been, you know, talk about Georgia. But this Cincinnati team has been waiting for a moment for a long time. And, you know, it had a big moment last year against Georgia and really let that game get away. But this is a completely different situation. I mean, this is one of those NCAA basketball games that we love where you have an underdog playing the biggest and the baddest. And I think we all, you know, the odds makers obviously like Alabama. But one thing about Vegas, and I realize Vegas is not picking games. They're putting a line up to get equal betting, but you know, don't pay too much attention to these lines. Alabama was a double-digit favorite over A&M. They've been a favorite over everyone, and they were an underdog against Georgia. So the perception of the betting public has not been accurate this year too many times in the Alabama situation. Let's take a break. We have a lot to do. We'll get Richard and Spencer in here in a minute and see what they have to say.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's HIMS.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. HIMS.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And welcome back. And sad news to report. This is the final show of the year for this year of TOL and the two stars of that show. Guys, I know there's some regret knowing that this is it for now, but hopefully you'll be renewed.
Paul, tomorrow morning, for the last time, I'm going to snooze my 4:30 a.m. alarm to return to New York City. And it's going to be a joyous occasion in that hotel room.
I mean, ask any coach. We're all contract to contract here.
Well, let's get to the story du jour, and that is Kirby Smart. I know that will be a topic on your show, so have at it.
The whole game, after every drive, Georgia offensive drive, I would pull my binoculars. I was in the press box, but pull my binoculars out and look down at the sideline and see JT Daniels warming up to come into this game, particularly as the second half went on. Apparently, they did catch him at some point in time getting loose, so I'm told, by our friends here at the network. Mm-hmm. I did not personally see that, but the whole time I was wondering why. I did think the way Georgia had structured this season, they had the opportunity to bring JT Daniels in off the bench in a tough spot. Now, they will have 3 weeks to come up with something bespoke for Michigan. Mm-hmm. Will it include JT Daniels or not, Spencer?
I think it will. And I think it has to, if only for a change of pace, because this ain't going to do it. This is not going to end up beating Alabama. This model of football, right? Grind it out, lean on them, apply defensive pressure, and wait for the other team to break. That works great as long as you're facing a team that can't counterpunch. The thing that Alabama can do with Jameson Williams and with Bryce Young and that offensive line, which did a brilliant job picking up all those blitz pressures, right? They can't come from behind. They cannot get behind by a score. You saw when it happened, it became 7, it became 14, it became more. That to me is everything in a nutshell about what Georgia has to prepare over the next 3 weeks.
So in terms of what you've watched and observed from Kirby Smart, he didn't make the call Saturday.
I mean, really? We're not going to know. I mean, we're not going to know until that game kicks off on December 31st.
Yeah.
There's no way.
Also, it is the hardest case to me. Okay. It's very easy for me to like sit over here and be a, you know, couch QB and say, hey, I need you to go ahead and switch QBs. This got them so far, Paul, that I understand the confusion, because it's not like it just got them to the SEC title, right? It's not like it just got them to the championship game. It got them a good two quarters into this game. And Stetson Bennett played a really good game in a lot of ways. It's just when you have two teams that are this close, quarterback's an edge. And Kirby has to make that decision, right? That is his decision. This is his program. And I think he has to take a page from his mentor. You're going to have to adapt if you're going to succeed and overcome.
And I don't want to look past the next round, because we know how exciting some of these semifinals have been in the recent years.
Mm-hmm.
But if we end up seeing Alabama and Georgia again, and I hope we do, only because the country doesn't want to see this, why should I believe it's going to be different?
I don't think you should. I really don't. Like, I mean, this is, you have very smart people whose entire job is coming up with finding matchups and finding ways for this to happen. I don't think the same issues that doomed Georgia in Mercedes-Benz in the SEC championship game are going to be any different in any hypothetical playoff matchup, right? Any real playoff matchup. I think they're the same teams. I think you're going to see a similar result. By the way, am I somewhat influenced by watching Oregon and Utah?
I literally
have the same
was
nightmare?
Just about to
right?
say, I spent 2 weeks saying, well, you know, obviously Utah is better than Oregon, but Utah's not 30 points better than Utah. And then Utah was 30 points better than than Oregon again. And that gives me some pause about saying maybe the rematch will go a different way.
Every time I've watched Bryce Young, he's had his best game of the season, like successively, like game after game after game. He's been that good and he's been that unbothered.
As you look at these semifinal games, and you know, we have a long time to talk about them. That's the beauty of, or maybe it's the ugliness of the college football playoff. But If you had to pick one of the games, I mean, is it Michigan over Georgia where there is a bigger or better chance for an upset?
Well, yeah, just because of the nature of how the game is going to be played.
Yeah.
Like that game is going to be played in a phone booth, played in a, the point there is to keep things tight. And also selfishly, I think that might be the one I'm going to. So we hope that one is exciting.
To say something, though, about Cincinnati, they will be very good at keeping this game close. Alabama, by the way, I know they just played their best game of the season. And that's a dangerous spot to be in because I don't think that's going to happen twice. And it's going to happen against a really, really good Cincy team that I think can keep things closer than they're comfortable. And before you say, oh, well, that's crazy talk, look at how they played against Arkansas and Auburn. That team that played Georgia is possible. You might also see the team that showed up against Auburn and against Arkansas.
I wish you hadn't said that. You've just ruined my night.
Think of the calls, Paul. Think of the calls.
I have. guys, we've thoroughly enjoyed this. This is just a parting for now. We will see you again very, very soon, I hope.
Thanks, Paul.
Yeah, thanks, Paul.
See you guys. Have a great holiday season. We are now into that now, where that's the salutation. Let's get some more calls. Charles is up next. Hello, Charles.
How are you doing, Paul?
We are doing great. Thank you, Charles.
Paul, I'm blind. I can't watch the games anymore. And I listened to them, and last week I thought that I'd heard one of the greatest defensive ball games in the Iron Bowl that was ever played. And then I found out that the center's rhythm was off and that Bryce would be holding the ball and the offensive linemen would still be in their stances. And I said, you know, I think that can be corrected up there in Tuscaloosa on the practice field. I think they can get that straightened out. Then I heard that Georgia's cornerbacks were very good athletes, but not elite athletes. And I started on some parallels between the 1992 Crimson Tide and this year. You know, we beat Tulane 13-6 in 92 and then beat Miami into the ground.
Oh, yeah.
And I realized that Georgia didn't have elite cornerbacks. They don't have an elite quarterback. And Kirby Smart is an elite defensive coordinator, but he is not an elite head coach. And at this point in his career, I don't see him becoming one. And if I was Kirby and I found out I had to play Alabama game, everybody's talking about a revenge game. If I was Kirby and I knew I had to play Alabama again, I would seriously consider whether I was going to play Alabama or just go out and kick a grizzly bear in the butt real hard. I mean, the grizzly thing would hurt, but just for a couple of 3-4 minutes, this is going to hurt forever. And I think we'll win the championship again this year. I didn't until Thursday morning. You know, there's some advantages to being blind. You wouldn't believe how much money I save on my light bill. And there are a lot of other things that don't distract you and allow you to do more thinking. And I had accepted the fact that Alabama was going to lose to Georgia.
Well, you know, Charles, that's a very honest assessment, and I know a lot of people claim not to have that, but I think that was the overwhelming thought. Hey, you be well. Thanks so much for the call. Enjoyed the conversation. We're coming right back.